Matt, welcome back for the highly sought after fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. So glad that you have joined us on an absolutely glorious day in the Mid-South tonight. Just beautiful out there. Low humidity, cobalt blue skies, 87 degrees, and the Cubs have come back for the second time to tie the Giants. Cubs trying to act like a regular baseball team and win a game for the remaining fans that are over there. I have no idea where the fans go when they leave a Cubs game. It's the middle of the afternoon, for God's sake. Stay at the game. Place is half empty. You know, I just I don't get it. All right, joining us now on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP hotline, a guy that didn't have to worry about half-empty buildings, David Poile, the GM of the Nashville Predators. David, welcome back. How are you, man?
Thank you, Tom. Nice to talk to you.
It's always good to talk to you. And how did things go over there today? You got the youngins skating around. Everybody's got a little jump in their step, trying to show off. They got the crest on their, you know, on their jersey for the first time, even though you know, most of them won't be up next year. How'd it go?
I think it's really good. I think it's one of the best things that we do in our development camp for our young players. I mean, it's just kind of neat just to see the enthusiasm that they have. I guess you would call it the rawness of their of where they're at and how much that they can take in. I mean, whether it's talking to Barry Trotz or to Martin Jelen, our director of player development, our training staff, you know, our medical people, nutritionist, all these things. I mean, it's like going to college and, you know, for maybe a whole year for what we put these guys through for a week. And again, it's just the foundation. All of our younger players, whether it be Weber, Suter, all these guys came through our development camp, and I think it's really neat. I wish they had that when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was telling people, just go over there to see Ryan Ellis. I mean, it's worth it just to go over there and see Ryan Ellis. By the way, the Cubs get a walk-off home run, a three-run jack to win the game. So those of you that have been following that, big comeback win for the Cubs. It came back twice tight at the bottom of the ninth and win it in the bottom of the 13th, 5-2, off of a three-run home run there. So I think it was Pena with that home run possibly, but that's a good job by the Cubs. All right, David, I would be remiss. I mean, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about this RFA deal that's going on. For the listeners that aren't up to speed on it, allegedly these qualifying offers have to be to the restricted free agents by 4 o'clock Central Time on Monday. We're talking about Sergei Kostets and Kel O'Reilly, Nick Spaulding, Matt Halischuk, Chris Mueller, Andres Thurison, and Linus Klassen. And there's a discrepancy as to whether or not everything got in and the I's were dotted and T's were crossed and deliveries were made and everything else. What can you tell us about this issue?
Well, I think you're, you know, you're teeing it up correctly. There's a grievance that the Players Association is putting against us. It's now in the hands of the NHL, so it's the NHL will, we defer to them to represent us in this matter. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things. That's just, I mean, I can't get into say too much about it, but it's just more of a detailed, you know, situation. I mean, we certainly believe that we did everything that was appropriate. The NHL, responded to us when we sent in our documents that they received everything and they approved everything, so we think we're in the right here, but the Players Association doesn't, so it's headed for a grievance. I haven't had I guess it's a good thing I haven't had much many grievances in my time, so I really actually don't know the total procedures here. They have to get an independent arbitrator. I don't know when this is going to be. There's a timeliness, of course, because we have free agency tomorrow at noon Eastern time. But as far as NHL is concerned, they're going to be treated as restricted free agents per our qualifying offer. And where it goes from there, I'm not exactly sure, and I'm not exactly sure what the time frame is. So it's an unfortunate situation. It creates a little bit of uncertainty. But having said that, we're operating as if we have the players and it's business as normal.
Is it typical that these things are filed pretty much on the last day? You know, because the average fan out there might say, well, why don't you send them last week sometime?
Well, again, I can't get into too much. I mean, I think everybody does it a little bit differently, and there's situations of why you would file them early, and there are situations why you would do it on the last day. And for us, there was a situation of why we did that. But having said that, that's our right to do that. It's you can file them on the last day. It doesn't say you have to file them a week before. It says you have to file them by 5 o'clock on the 27th, and that's what we did.
All right, you filed for arbitration with Shea Weber. This has nothing to do with this other deal here. You filed for arbitration with him, which basically guarantees that he'll be back with the Predators next year, or what kind of a deal it is and so on and so forth, we don't know. But is this the kind of thing where there could be one deal that takes care of the next year or two, or a short-term deal, and then down the road, a longer-term deal can still be negotiated?
Well, I guess that's a possibility. That's not our goal or our hope right now. I mean, Shea is our best player. He's our captain and the face of the franchise, and we would like to execute a longer-term deal. But, you know, we don't control that. We're in negotiations right now. We've had meetings with his new representatives a couple of weeks ago, then at the draft last week in Minneapolis, and we talked to them today for a little bit. And, you know, again, we just have, like, every negotiation. I mean, I try to simplify this. Everybody says, what's the holdup in getting the deal done? Well, it's usually the amount of years and the number of dollars that you're offering, and we're no different in this negotiation. So, we keep talking. I mean, I think both sides want to do something. I think we're tracking in the right direction. There's some comparable players out there that contracts are up and they're going to get settled in the near future. That might also help both sides come to an area that we think is the right thing to do. So it's ongoing, and the sooner we get it done, the happier I'll be.
David Poile with us on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline. All right, and you announced that there will not be a contract offered to Stevie Sullivan, a very popular Predator over the years. J.P. Dumont's deal is bought out. So over the past 18 months or so, really, 2 years now, Jason Arnott, Steve Sullivan, J.P. Dumont, all exit stage left. Wonderful Predators, guys that gave us great service and great thrills. But I think that this is kind of indicates that the Leaf has now fully turned over, and there's good reason for it, because you look very, very good with the young guys, and, you know, these guys will do what they'll do, but, this organization is in pretty good shape with some of the youngins that are coming up through.
Well, I feel that way, and if just for a second, I'd like to thank, Sully for everything that he did for us. He was a terrific player, and as you said, one of the more popular players. I mean, he really got us going. He was the reason why we made the playoffs the first year. JP scored lots of goals for us and was a terrific player for a couple of seasons. Last season was not great for him or for us, and we really appreciate what they've done for our franchise, both on and off the ice. Both of them have indicated that they're going to continue to play, and both of them have indicated that they're going to retire here in Nashville with their families, which is fabulous. I mean, that speaks very highly of our community. But, having said that, I mean, we must move on, and we have one of the youngest teams in the league, obviously. We're trading Arnott last year, now Sully, JP. I mean, we're really young. I mean, this is really Shea Weber's team, if you will. We have a lot of players that are within a couple of years of age and hockey experience within each other. And again, just talking like the first question, I mean, a lot of these kids all were drafted by us, came through our development camps. And at the end of the year, I think we had 15 draft choices out of the 23 players in our roster, and that's the most in the league. And, you know, there's different ways to build your team, but I like the closeness and the chemistry that we have in our team.
And it's not like you don't have some veteran presence. I mean, you got a guy in Mike Fisher who came on and kind of showed his stuff after a little bit of a slow start, did some really nice things in the playoff and so on. And I would think that it would be a totally different Mike Fisher going through camp with the boys, you know, having some of these other guys out. Assuming that he's healthy, I would think that he's a guy that you can kind of look to for that veteran leadership, you know, on the front end and the forward end.
Well, there's no question. I think not only is Mike a really good player, but I think he's going to give us that leadership that I guess you could say can sort of complete the Shea Weber and his captaincy, mm-hmm. and have the support that's necessary. I think with Fisher here, in a leadership group along with Shea, I think that area is well covered off. And I think Fisher again gets settled in for the whole year. He's had shoulder surgery after the season. Get that taken care of. I think we're going to see a real good player for hopefully quite a few years here in Nashville.
I liked your comments last month about Paul Fenton's conversation with Alexander Radulov. It's like, you dominated that league. You've gotten paid. You took their money and you took their championship and you took their MVPs. When do you want to be, when do you want to play in the best league in the world again before you get too much older? Are you hopeful that thing could come full circle, maybe even a little bit sooner than everybody thinks, or is it still something that's just out there in la-la land that it may or may not happen?
Probably somewhere in the middle. I think there's sort of some cracks, if you will, in terms of the strength
It might be Alexander Radulov. Yeah, if you want to take that, if it's Radulov, take it. If not, forget about it.
No, it's just an an agent. It's the usual. It's the usual thing. No, I think there's some cracks, if you will, in the KHL a little bit. I mean, Rad's team won the championship, and he was the most valuable player. You know, are all good things, but I think his team has lost a couple of their top players in financial situations that they may not be able to re-sign them. And I just think that the more we've talked to him and his agent, I don't think it's going to be this year because it's getting a little late here, but I do think that he's going to come back next year. I know you maybe heard me say that or referenced him saying that, but I probably feel stronger today about that possibility. If it was, 2080, you know, a year ago, I'd say it's maybe 70-30 in favor of him coming back next year.
Wow. All right. Now, finally, with the free agency getting started, you guys got some cash. You piled up a little bit of money, put it in a corner. Could we see a little bit of activity? Even though I know you're a team that's built from within, but could we see a little activity to maybe round this roster out?
Well, we've got a couple of our own free agents that we're looking at, and that's Joel Ward and Marcel Gotch, that they're going to enter free agency tomorrow, and they're going to see what their value is, and they're going to get back to me before they make a decision. I'm going to, we'll be out looking ourselves, but we're going to compare Ward and Gotch versus what's available. With all due respect to the class here of free agents, I mean, most of the teams have signed their players, so it's not as deep, and there's not the high-end forward that we'd be kind of looking for. I mean, Brad Richards is the highest of forwards, but he's going to command a salary that's not going to fit into where we are right now. Other than that, it's really hard to say who the next best forward is. For example, there's been the last couple of days, I see Jokinen just signed back with Carolina. Like, he's an offensive player that might have been by example, could be a guy that we could have been interested in, but he just re-signed with his own team. So there's just, it's not a big class of free agents. And what I suspect will happen is after people don't get what they think they could get, maybe we'll start seeing some more trades like we saw at the draft, and would be up for that.
Very interesting stuff. All right, David, always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you being frank on the issue of the RFAs, and you've always been fair and honest with us, and it's good stuff.
Thank you, Tom. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks.